if you have somebody that really wants to do well, given the opportunity, I feel like it's all about their foundation, whether they're aggressive or whether get up and go or whatever, but it's more about just having good work ethics and somebody that wants to grow.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into The Millionaire Mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. Guys, I'm telling you, we got a super cool guest on today. And as we connected and she shared with me a little bit about what her current business experience is in, it blew my mind. And part of it is probably because I come from a medical background, and I won't get into too much depth of what she does, but super fascinating stuff what her and her company are able to do. Our guest today is a serial entrepreneur and just thrives in that startup environment. So I'm telling you, you're going to get so many nuggets out of our episode today. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest, Jeanette Lane. Jeanette, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jeanette, why don't you just take a couple minutes and share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
My company is Surgis Stud. We originally started, our legal name is Spine Stud LLC. Stud stands for, it's an acronym for Surgical Training Utility Devices. And we provide an alternative to cadavers for surgical training and education. We do this through a patented process. We 3D print the bones and we create a simulation model for the surgical training.
Incredible. And I remember the first time we connected when I went to nursing school to become a registered nurse, we had a chance to experience and work and look at a cadaver. And what you're able to do is provide these resources to people in a much easier way and process. And it's super cool what you do. And we're definitely going to talk more about that and how that idea even came about. But Jeanette, this wasn't your first experience with business, with your current opportunity here. When would you say this entrepreneur journey really began for you?
Well, I actually have been fortunate to work underneath my mentor of over 35 years. He, a venture capitalist, philanthropist, we did a lot of startup financial assistance. So I really had diversity in all aspects of businesses, from HR to financials to marketing, sales, and legal negotiations. Been doing that for many years. And after having the experience, I guess, second, third hand, when this opportunity came up, it just fell into place where hard work and preparation met opportunity. And it was just one of the startup companies that my boss was investing in. And he actually offered me the financial opportunity to invest as well, because it was such an exciting opportunity and a new venture. It was super exciting. So it wasn't a lot of money, but I did invest a minimal amount, but it really got me involved where I was spending more and more time, more and more hours every single week. So we started the company about 5 years ago, and it was right around the time that COVID hit. And so rather than going out and looking for a CEO, I just kind of stepped into that role, went into the office, and just never left. So it's just been super exciting, a lot of opportunity, but also obviously challenge and a lot of growth. Though we started just doubling every quarter, and then business just grew and it just took off. After COVID, you'd be surprised. You'd think that there was a lot of cadavers available, but unfortunately, it actually restricted the availability. So it actually opened up an opportunity for us. And we've learned through the years that with us being able to actually customize the bones, there's such a value now because we have the consistency, so we can replicate the same bone deformity or trauma or density and then replicate it for educational courses or labs or whatever. So every surgeon has the same one. So it became just really valuable. And now with all the robotics entering the field medical device companies have a really huge need for it, for the consistent training. And it just has been taking off.
That's crazy. And I've got to imagine that there's some sort of, I don't know if ethical is the right word, because I wouldn't say working on cadavers is unethical, because it's part of training, right, and studying it. But I imagine that there's probably a stigma around that. A lot of people are more comfortable working on 3D printed bones that have the same consistency and stuff than working on actual cadavers.
Absolutely. There's the ethics and then also culture. There's a few regions that just will not even allow the use of the cadavers. There's a lot of respect. And I know that there's definitely a need in the industry. We're never going to replace them. It's just an alternative for when it does.
Sure.
Just with the logistics, there's a lot of soft costs that are saved. So it's not only the savings, because we're about you'll end up saving about 75% after all the soft costs and the logistics. I mean, God forbid something happened and you have a cancellation from a surgeon and you have this thawed out cadaver. It's like, what are you going to do with it? And then the disposal, and there's all kinds of regulations that you don't really think about when comparing the costs. But
yeah,
and besides the cost savings and the logistics and all that, but you're right. Surgeons have horror stories about working with cadavers. It's not always a pleasant experience. And
wow.
Consistency and the difference, and being you can't order a cadaver with scoliosis. So, I mean, that's really how this all started, was being able to, the surgeon, the inventor actually created his first prototype because he wanted deliberate training so that he could excel in his field.
Yeah, because then you can create multiple, like scoliosis, right? Like you could create multiple models of that. And be right. Consistent with that experience.
And the pediatric side of it too. You can't order a child cadaver. So being able to customize it, the size, yeah. The deformity, and all of that has been very, very valuable.
Yeah, that's incredible. Just that technology and what it's going to be able to do for research and medicine moving forward. So you mentioned that this mentor of yours for 35 years is the one that was really spearheading this project. Sounds like you had quite a bit of experience. You're in HR, you're in financials, you're in marketing, you're in sales. How did all that experience help lead up to where you are today?
Well, I'm still wearing a lot of those hats, at least on any given day. I would think, though, like I said, I've been doing this for over 30 years, so I'm an older entrepreneur. And I'll tell you that doing it firsthand experience is radically different than when I grew up. Not only being a woman in business, the diversity, but technology has grown exponentially. Social media, all of these new factors, it's a totally different world.
Interesting.
So I would have to say that that has been the biggest challenge. But then again, it's also been exciting to see the growth and the improvement in the workforce.
So currently, AI is a buzzword, right? Everyone's talking about AI and how that's coming into these companies and these startups. Back when you started, you said you've been in this for over 30 years. 30 years ago, what was the buzzword there? What was the new big thing?
All the new Excel, maybe? I don't know. I would say a lot of strategic. Gosh, it's been so long. That's unfair. showing my age. It's just so different. Technology, obviously, number one. And we're using 3D printers. So
yeah,
that wasn't even around back then. So it's been fun to see. And AI is insane. I'm still just experimenting with it, but it's so fun. And I think it's definitely going to complement. I think it's not going to do as much damage as people fear. Although there's also concerns, ethical concerns.
Right. I mean, I hear people back when the internet was super becoming really big. Like, I wasn't in business at that time, but there's a lot of concerns around that as well. So I think it's going to be kind of similar. And I agree with you. I think with AI and current technology, I mean, look at 3D printing. Like, I remember years ago when they first started talking about 3D printing, and I was like, what use would you have for that? Like, that's like the dumbest thing. Like it didn't make sense. But now look what you guys are doing. You're 3D printing bones.
Correct.
So people can practice surgeries and stuff. It's incredible. And at the end of the day, like, I think the person-to-person aspect will never be able to be replaced.
No. And that kind of leads into what I wanted to share is a lot of people, a lot of business owners may value certain things like their product, and they think that that's their biggest asset, or maybe their IP or their cash flow. They may prioritize one of their assets over another. I 100% wholeheartedly know that my people are my biggest asset. Mm. And we have our core values. We promote from within as often as possible. I think we maybe have hired outside one person. We reinvest, at least for the last 5 years, all of our profits back into our staff. We'd have a bonus program that 100% of the staff is eligible for. That's based on quality, improvement, goal setting. We use Lean Six Sigma for continuous improvement. And so our staff is very, very involved. And, you know, they're on the front line. They're the ones actually hand assembling these bones. And they're the ones that know when something isn't working right or needs improvements, taking longer than the estimated time. And they come back to our R&D team and they will give their feedback, their opinions. So, I mean, I really do. I value the people. Like you said, you're never going to take that aspect away. I mean, you will. I mean, look at the robots that answer the phone now. I mean, who, you know, you hang up. It's frustrating. So I agree with you. You need that people connection.
So you mentioned employees, and I love talking about this aspect because this is unfortunately one of the things I think a lot of people not involved in business, or maybe they were involved in with a bad business owner that mistreated employees. A lot of the people, I would say most majority, if not all of the people we've had on the show, you know, have put their employees up there with them because they recognize that they couldn't have gotten to where they are without them. And I think the general consensus and feel with people not involved in business is that business owners are greedy. They just take advantage of their employees and all this stuff. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to spend some time here and talk about how you guys have really structured your company around to promote within and really build up the people that are helping you grow.
Let's do that.
So let's start with how you first find these people.
Okay, that's a good question. First of all, 5 years ago, we had 2 employees, and now we have 22. And with our expected growth, we'll hire more this year. We have a lot of engineers that interned with us from ASU. We are located in Tempe, so it was very convenient for multiple engineers to come and intern, and all of them have stayed. They have chosen their career to stay and grow with us. We also collaborate with another high school. It's Genesis Academy, and they have a turnaround philosophy for kids at risk or at challenged, or even just like kids that need flexibility, whether it's a pregnancy or what have you, or they're working 2 jobs or what have you. They do such a great job really encouraging and coaching those children, or those students, I should say, because they are young adults. But they come in and with the opportunity, and I like to share this as well, is because I was given an opportunity and I like to reciprocate and pay it forward. Given the opportunity, these students have flourished, the interns, the engineers. It's just been incredible to see them grow. And obviously their success and their growth is our growth and our success. So we really take care of each other and it works really well.
So if there's a company or a business that wants to start working with a school to bring on interns and people to help out in that manner, what advice, what tips, tricks could you share with them to start that process?
I'll tell you how it started with Genesis Academy. We sponsored and hosted a youth entrepreneurship program through that school, and it did extremely well. You know, we just sponsored it. We didn't actually do the work, but we worked with the staff to implement the course and such. And we got a lot of good response from the students. They just really enjoyed it. And so it was exciting to show them small business from start, from formation to creating a product, marketing, and on a small scale, like creating bath balls or soap balls or something like that. Other people actually created food and sold food at the cafeteria. But we worked this program with them, and to see their excitement and to follow it all the way through to your P&Ls and hiring and staffing and all of that stuff, it was just really exciting. And that's the way we started. But I guarantee you, any school, any program would be ecstatic to get involved and to provide that opportunity for their students. We also work with the YMCA, although I don't think we've ever hired anyone from there. But
so when you say young adults, are you talking about 16, 17, 18-year-olds or older?
So yeah, about 14 to 17, I think is the age.
Okay. And so they get to come in and actually work with the company and help you guys out with different things?
We haven't actually had that set up yet. That's actually a great idea, though, Dallin.
Okay.
It's more us going to them and working with them, doing that youth entrepreneur program. I spoke a couple of times there and just got the program off and running. They actually don't have it anymore. But what happened is, just through that collaboration, we found which kids would be interested in. And upon graduation, they came and started working for us full time. I have one student that has been with us for almost 2 years, and she's already been promoted twice. So, wow. Yeah, so it's been really exciting to see her growth from when she got here to now. Just incredible.
That's awesome. So that's how you look for people to bring onto the team. What'd you say are some, I guess, characteristics or things that are an absolute that people need to have if you're willing to?
It's funny because when in the hiring process, everybody looks at resumes. For me, it's more about their desire to grow. I personally feel one of my quotes is the fish stinks from the head down, where if something is not going well, I feel like it definitely is the leader's responsibility. If you haven't done the training, if you haven't given them the correct resources or the accountability and the follow-up or what have you, if you have somebody that really wants to do well, given the opportunity. So I feel like it's all about their foundation and whether they're aggressive or whether the get up and go or whatever, but it's more about just having good work ethics and somebody that wants to grow. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I mean, if somebody wants to learn, then that's who I want to hire. You can have absolutely zero experience, but I want that person that wants to work hard and wants to learn and grow.
I heard this quote a while back, hire for attitude, not experience. And something just like rang so true in my mind for that. And because we've experienced both sides of this. We've worked with people, we've hired people that were experienced with the wrong attitude, and we were misaligned. We couldn't get the momentum we were looking for. And the experience will come with time. And if you have somebody with the right attitude, they're going to gain that experience fairly quickly because they have that internal drive.
Right. Absolutely. And I know having the right people in the right seats is vital. Absolutely vital. And hiring people without experience, definitely, it's just another layer of challenges, but it takes more time. But the commitment and loyalty that you receive in return is you get it back tenfold.
Yeah. When I hear that quote, I didn't interpret it as like, hey, just hire the cool people you want to hang out with that don't have any experience. Like, that's not how I interpret it. And I don't want our listeners to interpret it that way. But if you have two qualified candidates and one has more experience than the other, but one has a better attitude and they're both equipped to do the job,
100%.
Take the one with the attitude.
100%.
All day. So hiring for a lot of people, especially newer business owners, knowing when to hire can be difficult. So in your experience and the growth that you guys have been experiencing over the last few years, how did you identify those times that you realize, hey, we need to bring someone on, we need to delegate this?
I'm getting better at it, but it's still a challenge because no one has a crystal ball, right? In our situation, I think I mentioned that earlier, we started out as spine stem, but we've expanded to ortho. So now we do shoulder, knee, foot and ankle and hip. And so now you have five different anatomies and we do so much custom work that the training, it can take up to 3 months. So having the adequate staff and expecting this growth, and sometimes it takes a year to roll out some of these large companies, but I have found I'd rather have more staff and quality work than beating up my people, making them work hard, longer hours, and then getting less quality. So I've started to be a little bit more proactive, and there will be, obviously, you're not going to be able to predict it 100%, but I've been able to do, I guess, accept the growth a lot more efficiently, having the staff trained and ready to go.
So have them trained, bring them on before you really need them.
Like I said, there was a lot of growing pains, and that was one area that I think it took several times to actually learn. I mean, nobody wants to pay payroll when you're at 60% optimization. So it's definitely an investment, but I think it's better on that staff and that team member than it would be to throw them into the wolves and just be like, figure it out. So, and then you've got extra QC rework and all that if you don't have them fully trained.
Awesome. Well, we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm interested to hear more about this bonus program and whatever you guys are able and willing to share about that, because we're implementing that in our company. And so that question is maybe more for me than for our listeners, but I'm just curious to see how you guys have structured that and with your employees in mind. Okay. Right. So we'll come back after this quick break and we'll chat a little bit about that.
Sounds great. Thank you, Dan.
Hey guys, my name is Nate Hare. I'm the executive director at Directed IRA. Directed IRA is a company that exists to provide a solution for people that want to invest their retirement accounts, be it IRAs or old 401ks, into things like real estate or things outside of the stock market. If you want to invest your IRA or old 401k into investments like real estate, apartments, syndications, or the great investments that Rev Equity has to provide, make sure that you reach out to us. You can find our information on investwithrev.com or our website, www.directedira.com. Open a self-directed IRA and invest in alternatives today.
All right. Welcome back to the Millionaire Mind. So, Jeanette, share with us a little bit about this program that you guys have structured and put together for your employees, because I know I'm interested in it, and there's probably some other business owners listening to this that could definitely learn or take some nuggets of how they want to structure their business moving forward.
I'd love to. We've done this from day one. It's based on quality and improvement and productivity goals. It's very important to realize and to share with the staff and the team that this is not profit sharing. It is a bonus, and we do require, there's eligibility. You have to be here 90 days and you have to work full time during the quarter that we pay. But I mentioned earlier that we actually have monthly meetings with requesting feedback, but we set goals based on some of the productivity measurements. We measure a lot of different KPIs and metrics, and we'll find and identify where we can make the biggest impact. And we'll bring the team together in each department. They will decide what their goal is. They will commit to it. And then they have 2 to 3 action steps for that month, how to get and achieve that goal. And if they need resources, if they need new training or anything like that, we provide that. And every month, if they make their goal, then their percentage of eligible bonus dollars is represented. That the goal itself is worth a little bit higher percentage, but the tasks and the steps, the action steps, are also contributed to that percentage. And then at the end of the quarter, based on the eligible funds, which it's a secret formula that changes actually quite often, but basically it's determined on how much growth there is in net profit. And so whatever that growth is, you take a percentage of that and then you share it amongst the team. And the team lead gets to decide how much each team member gets. So if there's somebody that might have given a little bit extra effort or went above and beyond, they'll get a little bit more. So everybody is rewarded. And if they do, if they don't make their goal, then that's reflected as well. So they're 100% in charge of it and in control.
One thing you mentioned very quickly and in passing, I don't know if our listeners caught it, but I sure did. You allow your staff to come up with the goals.
Absolutely.
Just to clarify, you don't come to them and say, hey guys, these are the metrics we're going to hit.
No, but I mean, we bring the metrics and we say, okay, this is what we have. This is where we need the improvement. And they will come up though. They'll say, we'll improve that by 2%. And it's funny. Some of them will come back and go, no, we can do it by 5%. And they're like, we can do this. Come on, let's. And then they think of the ways they can do it and they'll toss around different ideas. And hey, if we can get this automated, this would save us. So can you invest in the automation? And with all these ideas that are brainstorming and all of that, they actually, you know, by them deciding the goal, it's they own it. And we tend to get more success. And if they're like, no, we can only do 1%, then that we'll take that as long as it's an improvement.
You're empowering your staff to have that ownership and that autonomy. I think that's the way businesses are turning and need to turn. Like this whole corporate mentality of do this because I said so is, well, we all know how well that doesn't work out.
Right. Back to my younger days. That's what it was.
Right? Like it never works on kids. Why do you think it's going to work on adults?
There's basic psychological needs. You've got, you know, self-endorsing autonomy. You want to feel valued and feel belong.
Yes.
And you want also to feel competent. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're not competent. And you don't also want to sit in a situation where you're over competent. And so it really aligns with their growth, personal and professional growth.
And you get that buy-in from them. They realize that they're a part of something much bigger than their own. They're part of a team. And like the people want that community. We need, at the core of human beings, of who we are, we need that connection.
Absolutely. Over the 5 years, I've seen it really click. And all of the things, the byproduct, the trust and accountability and all the growth-mindedness, it all stems from that. And it's a very, very simple process. It really is. And like I said, I've been lucky enough that I was able to implement this from the very beginning, because it is difficult. If you don't get the buy-in from the CEO or what have you, it's hard to implement it and get the buy-in from everybody. So I've been fortunate having been a startup. It really worked really well. And I just can't tell you how proud I am of our team.
Yeah, that's super neat. So for the business owner that's considering implementing this, whether they're starting a new business or maybe they want to implement this with an existing business, was this just a strategy session you and the owners had? Like, how did you come up with this bonus structure and how you wanted to offer it?
I was fortunate. My mentor actually implemented this in his company when I was working for him over 35 years ago. So it's something that I just know and believe and firsthand witness that it works. So I just carried that over. If anyone wants to talk to me, I mean, I can share my formula with them personally, but I don't want to online here.
Sure.
I mean, not that it's a secret, but you have to note that we do have the option to change it if we have to. That's important as well. And that's why it's not profit sharing. It's not guaranteed. This is something we do out of the goodness of our hearts. We literally take these profits and we share them, because like I said, we wouldn't be here without our team and the people that make it happen and do it lovingly. I've never seen such just giving individuals and always willing to go above and beyond and to help a coworker out and stay late, come in on the weekend. It's like whatever you ask, and even you don't even have to ask, they just step up. So like I said, the byproduct of all of this is even more valuable than the bonus dollars.
100%. And to clarify, you said this isn't a profit share. This isn't guaranteed. So it's incentive based. It's based on these KPIs that you're setting for productivity. And you mentioned quality as well. So what things do you measure on the quality side to help them qualify for these bonuses?
Almost everything. My director of operations, she's like, another report? We use Lean Six Sigma methodologies. So we're constantly, continuously improving, even if it's by a very small factor. We're measuring waste, overall quality checks, productivity, efficiency. But each process goes through 5 stages, 5 departments, and each process has its own like sub-processes. And so each of those are measured, and like it's easy to find where the outliers are, where the impact can be made just based on all of these numbers. But, you know, cost of nonconformance. So you'll have all these metrics and then you'll just identify which one needs to be worked on, and that can make the biggest impact with improvement.
And now we're talking about prioritization, which is a huge aspect to business. So Maybe this is a good time to pivot a little bit into that, because especially with the growth that you guys have experienced over the last few years, how have you found, what methods have you implemented or used to help prioritize the most important thing?
The metrics, the smallest effort that you identify which items you can do, which tasks you can do with the smallest amount of effort, but you're going to get the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just don't have that choice. You have to improve that quality because it doesn't meet the standards and it has to completely be reprocessed. So sometimes you have to make that decision. The priority, I would say, is the quality, number one. And then second would be the productivity and efficiency.
What's been some of the biggest challenges you've had over the last few years? And you said you started this right around COVID or right before COVID, right?
Right. 2019, there's been a lot of challenges. The growth just constantly changing. You go from four people to 12, and it's a totally different dynamic. Human resources needs are totally different. Payroll's a little bit different. So growth and scaling, and then the expansion, and then the new product. And so a lot of the growing pains and different growing pains. And so having to just constantly look ahead. Technology has also been an issue, keeping up with technology, especially with the 3D printers. You have a new printer out every month and keeping up. And I'll tell you, some of the new technology does not make it better. So we've had to learn that as well. Competition, keeping up with competition. That's always being ahead of that. But, you know, I think the biggest challenge is just as a leader, you know, you have to lead by example and always being in a good mood, always being there and productive. It's difficult, you know, and you know, you ask what keeps you up at night. It's everything, you know, it's just where it's just constant. There's not a lot of ebb and flow. It's just constant. It's always something.
I think that's why we're all addicted to caffeine too.
Definitely a necessity.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. And it's not, I mean, obviously a successful business owner wants to profit. I mean, that's the point of creating a business and making an impact, but that's not what it's all about. So I really appreciated our conversation thus far, just around how you really focus on the needs of the employees and you're creating an improved quality of life at the end of the day. People are feeling respected. They're feeling like they're contributing. They're being compensated. They're a part of creating something bigger than their own. Like all those things together really improve the quality of life. So to our listener listening to this, like that's the true power you have as a business owner. Now, unfortunately, there are people on the other side of the spectrum that are probably using and abusing their employees. All they care about is that bottom line. And it creates a bad taste in people's mouths and minds of business owners. I like to believe that the majority of them operate more like you and I do.
I hope so.
So, well, Jeanette, what's up and coming for you guys? What's in the news? What's coming up in the next 6-12 months? What are some of those big goals, some of those things that you're going after?
Well, our long-term goal, obviously, is to revolutionize surgical training and education. We're now becoming well known and we've validated our models in the industry. And we are in the process of securing, I'd say, 90% of the largest medical device companies. And we're rolling that out, the scaling of the growing and anticipating doubling again is going to be an issue. But I mean, we're ready and excited for it. And I mean, I think this growing pain is going to be a lot easier than the earlier ones. So we're just really looking forward to working with our clients and expanding. Not only do we do education like medical ed, but the research and development of these companies and their new product, which in turn helps their patients. And also with the robotics, the navigation field. And sales, you know, we're also helping their sales. So not only are we expanding with our anatomies, but also within those organizations, we're spreading our value to other departments. And then also we are global right now. I'd say about 40% of our work is global, but also reaching those other regions for those companies we might be doing something domestically, and we're in the process of expanding to APAC and Europe. It's been really exciting to see the growth.
It's a good problem to have. And to you mentioned this earlier too, like having 4 employees versus 12, it's a completely different game. So like every new level you get to as a business owner, there's something new. You probably feel brand new all over again. But the cool thing is speaking from personal experience and other people we've had on the show, we don't look back enough as business owners because we're so forward thinking. We're so futuristic thinking that I'm sure looking back, when you actually take time and reflect back, you're probably like, holy shit, look where I've come. Look who I've become along this journey.
It's funny because at Christmas, we always do a slide presentation and with the photos throughout the year, and we'll go back. We just had our 5th anniversary, and a lot of startups don't make it to 5 years. What is it? 90% don't. And so it was a big milestone for us, but we went back and looking at the empty warehouse and our older models and just how the staff has grown. And it was really enlightening, but also exciting. You know, it was like, wow, we've made huge strides. We've come far. So it is fun to see and look back and appreciate it and look back and realize, wow, that was a lot of work, you know, and that was worth it. It was, we do need to look back and appreciate where we've come from.
Awesome. Well, Jeanette, this has been absolutely incredible. Thank you for taking time out of your day and just sharing your experience and your story with us. There's a lot that I got from this episode, and I know our listeners will benefit from it as well. So as we wrap this up, there's 4 questions I like to ask every guest at the end of every show. And the first one being is, what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
I am going to go back, and I mentioned my age in the beginning, but I'm going to go back to the foundation basics, Dale Carnegie, Covey, the How to Win Friends, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I was younger and they still ignite my interest and passion every time I do reread them, but they're basics and you really can't grow without them. And I'm sure you guys have all read them, but maybe some of you younger people haven't, but it's worth it to even to revisit because they're such fantastic foundational
concepts. I would consider those 2 in like my foundational 5 or like my core 5, right? Like I have a lot of favorite readings, but there's some books that like you need to help build that foundation as a business owner, an entrepreneur, and just a person. And both of those are falling there.
Yeah. And I love 4 Disciplines of Execution and anything by Gina Wickman, all of those EOS.
Books. Oh, yeah. Absolute. Great recommendations. Excellent. Jeanette, what has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
Well, I'll be honest, in this journey that I began 5 years ago, my motto has been get comfortable being uncomfortable because you're experiencing something new almost every single day. And it might be something that you're just improving on or just you're learning and you want to grow. You know, AI, just you're not born with this experience, and just get comfortable being uncomfortable because it's exciting.
It is. It's stressful, but it's exciting. And the sooner you can be comfortable with getting uncomfortable, that's where you'll truly experience a growth.
Yeah.
So, Jeanette, if there was one thing you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
I just like to share that it is hard. You've shared, you work with a lot of other entrepreneurs. It's a lot of work. And I think if we knew what we know now, a lot of people wouldn't do it. You know, they would be afraid and say, no, yeah, I'm not doing that. 60-hour work weeks or all the stress and the risk and the responsibility we have, the obligation we have to our people and our vendors and everything. I'd say 95% of the whirlwind, you know, it is hard work. It's not fun. But that 5% reward that you'll find sporadically when you see one of your team members do something amazing, they step up, or the financials are definitely positively green and exciting, that 5% is so worth it. And it's so addictive that, you know, it's just power through it. Just power through what you have to do. Don't take it personally because you think that, wow, I lost my best engineer. Your life is over. It's not. You just work around it. You keep powering through and you'll have these wins. And they're few and far between sometimes. But when you do have them, it's so exciting and so worth it.
We're extremely resilient as people. And I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. And I think it's because we don't put ourselves in those situations enough to prove to ourselves really what can happen and what can be done. And I agree with you, like, don't stop. Don't quit. Like, just keep whatever you do, just keep going.
And ordinary people can do extraordinary things. I see it all the time. And it's the opportunity and just the willingness to do it. So, yep.
100%, especially when you have a good team around you and good partners. So, Jeanette, awesome. This has been incredible. How can listeners learn more about you and the business?
Easiest place would go online, surgistud.com. That's spelled SURGISTUD.com.
Surgistud.com. Awesome. Excellent. Look, this has been a great conversation with Jeanette. And if this is your first time listening, I'm so glad that you tuned in. People have been asking me what my company does. So since I have you here listening to my show, I'll share that with you now. So my company partners with busy professionals just like Jeanette that are looking to experience significant tax savings, have more to invest, and even reinvest their hard-earned capital. And we work with other successful business owners like you by offering them opportunities to invest alongside us in large apartment deals. If you've been frustrated with the stock market, want to grow capital in something you can actually touch and see, and invest in one of the most recession-resilient asset classes, then you can find out how I could serve you by visiting investwithrev.com. It can be overwhelming vetting the right investment and the right operator, but at Rev, we make real estate investing easy. Jeanette, again, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your story and just how your company is focused on growth, not only externally with the people you serve, but also with those that are helping you get there as in your employee. So it's been great. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been fun. Appreciate it.
And to our listener, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there and earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.